And welcome to Silly with the Lilligans. This is Mitch. With me, as always, is Brad.
All right. I don't know if I can do this because my headphones. Okay, I think I got it working. All right. Hi.
Good intro, Brad.
I know. Well, my headphones are going in and out, so.
Yeah. Well,
I'll soldier on.
You're a tough man.
Thank you.
We got producer John and intern Kenny over there.
Yep.
Intern Kenny. Basically means we can throw shit at him.
We do that anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
at least he gets a title for it. And now my head... Why did you jinx the headphones?
Mine's going crazy over here. It's just not working.
Probably should spend more money on the adapters.
Yeah, we could do that.
Why bother?
Oh, well. We don't really need headphones.
No, not really.
I can hear you. Sorry.
We got all sorts of fun stuff to cover here.
We got a whole page full of stuff to talk about. Well, I'm just going to take these off because they're bugging me.
Oh, how do you know if you're too loud?
Well, that's true. I put them back on. God damn it.
How else are we going to hear your...
I don't feel as pro as I should be, but...
Well, we aren't very pro from what I understand.
Yeah. Pro-sack. yeah. So, I thought it was a very nice touch, you allowing Kenny to come into your house.
Again, I use it as an example for my children of what not to become.
Ah, yes.
This keeps Jack focused on school and not becoming a teacher in the hood.
Yes. That does remind me... once after Kenny spent the night at my house.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was weird. The kids asked, or kids had said something about retarded, and Rebecca's like, you know I don't like you to use that word. And they said, can we just say Kenny? Not even kidding.
I recall that. That was pretty good.
So, yes.
That's good times. Well, speaking of retarded Kenny, he was at the game this past Saturday night. So was John. So was I. You were not.
Yes.
Because you were being the best dad you could be by going to a father-daughter dance?
Yep.
Nothing?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Okay, good.
No, I mean, it was lovely.
You didn't try to pick anybody up, did you?
No.
I was talking about another dad.
Oh, no. No. I talked to another dad about soccer the whole night, though. So. Oh,
good job. Yeah. That works. Was it Adam?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because that doesn't really count.
No, it was John.
Okay.
My Irish friend.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, hey, got to make the best out of a situation. So we all went over to the Piasaw game. They were playing our favorite, the Detroit Waza.
Yes.
Or a spell check says Gaza. And
the low flow toilets.
Yes. And wasn't a very good game for us. It was 9-5 loss.
The Piasaw had a rough go of it this season.
Yeah, it's not been a good season. 1-5, currently cellar dwellers.
Yes.
But hopefully that can change a little bit here. But we did have us a good time.
You know what I think would help is if they had 14-point shots.
That's still one of my favorite quotes from the first game. Where's the 14-point shot at?
Yes.
The answer was St. Charles.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's still good. They're doing their thing. They look a whole lot more promising than they have in years past.
New coach, some new players. I think they're all starting to gel.
What? Your microphone's pointed at your chin and not your mouth.
Well, my headphones are so goddamn loud, I can hardly...
Goddamn, you're high maintenance today.
It sounds like you're in my fucking head.
Oh, I'm Brad. Usually it's, it's not loud enough. Now it's too loud.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
God bless it.
I'll struggle.
Producer John, come over here and turn some knobs.
Just keep turning knobs.
Yeah, in my pants. No, it was fun getting into their heads though. A lot of the guys came up with good signs. Their goalie Joey Kapanos made the mistake of leaving his Facebook page open, and we kind of pounced on that a little bit. His girlfriend is Alicia, and. Rather well endowed woman.
And she's got a dick?
Yeah. It's huge. It is huge.
Damn, I wish I was at that game. See a lady boy.
Yeah, they did a little 50 Shades of Grey picture for Halloween. The guys kind of had a good time with photoshopping that. We'll have that on the we'll have it on the Facebook page and stuff like that. We need to post these kind of pictures. We printed out the one guy did was a baby for Christmas with a pacifier and diaper, so we had the giant cutout head of his. That was entertaining. We had our favorite Dominic, the human seal, with his shaggy hair turned into a a Cocker Spaniel, I believe it was. And he was our bitch, since that's appropriate for children.
Nice.
And Rocco got a cane.
Yeah. For those that don't know, this came up several weeks ago. I don't know why, but Rocco decided that he needed a cane. And specifically a Singapore cane like they beat that kid with a few years back.
The whole story is he wants to be the Sandman from ECW.
Right, right, right.
Who smokes, you know, the Marlboro Reds and drinks a Budweiser and smashes it on his head and has a Singapore cane.
Right.
Which Rocco did all those things at the Piasaw game.
We promised him that we would get him a Singapore cane, thinking...
If he sold two scarves.
Well, at first we promised him thinking, we don't have to worry about it, he'll forget about it. But he kept on and kept on, and then you said, if you sell two scarves, we'll get you a Singapore cane.
And he sold two scarves in like 5 minutes.
Right. So
he may have bought them himself.
Again, I thought we were still kind of joking until Mitch said, no, Amazon's got Singapore canes, I ordered them.
it was a bargain to get two. Let's be honest. And part of it was is that there was a pretty good chance that that first one was getting broken off in somebody's ass.
Right.
Within 5 minutes of having it, Kenny was smart enough to bribe him with a bottle of nitrine.
Again, all these things.
Wait, hold on. You know that just
all these things individually just add up to. Oh no, it's okay. We gave him a weapon.
Yes. And we gave him bum wine.
Yes. And a whole bottle of cheap wine. we encouraged him.
We took video of it. Took pictures of it. The DJ even played Enter Sandman at one point just because he saw what was going on.
So, yeah. I mean, all these things seem innocent enough.
But it's kind of the...
I was at home following along on Twitter and Facebook. And I just, it's like people were saying, the game's kind of boring. We're losing. And then all of a sudden, Rocco has been kicked out. Game over.
Well, and there's some backstory to that, was that we had, we decided that we were really.
I figured there was a backstory. I didn't figure they just kicked him out for no reason.
That's a fair point.
But Rocco was just sitting there minding his own business.
Who'd have thought?
You know, holding his cane, drinking his bum wine.
And it was one of these things where we're kind of sitting there and it's like, well, we're bored. We're not really enjoying this loss right now. And what can we do to enjoy this? And we decided, well, Brown and I and Rocco were going to have a 3-way death wrestling match. And
seems reasonable.
Yes. And then Pat was going to drop the big elbow on him. And then Timmy, the security guard, we don't know his real name, but we just like calling him Timmy. Once that kind of caught on a little bit, the security guard wasn't too keen on Rocco fake hitting him, and I use air quotes when I say fake, because there may have been some contact. Okay, there was contact, but we're going to say there may have been.
Yeah, usually when you hit a security guard with a big fake sword, doesn't end well after that.
Yeah, it was pretty much a bad idea, and, so Rocco got thrown out. At one point in time, he meandered across...
Now,
wait, hold on.
But to be fair, was he thrown out or was he asked not to renter?
We'll come back to renter.
Okay.
He was thrown out, and at some point in time, he made it across 111 and into the field across the highway.
As you do.
Yes. Well, you know, win in Rome. And
win in Granite City.
Yes. It quickly went downhill. He was not allowed to renter because now there's a no re-entry sign, which... For those that care, Matt and Lindsay are not happy about that, and they're going to keep working on that. But, you know, it was a mess. It was a hot mess that we are. And, oh my. So we do have a high school picture of Eric Von Nita from Pat Mahoney here.
Nice.
Officer Von Nita is...
This makes for excellent podcast.
No, it does. It does. We'll just say there's a little Fred Durst action going on here. So
did he do it all for the nookie?
I think he did.
But it sounds like you guys, even though it was a loss, and even though Rocco was asked not to renter, a pretty good time was had.
It was a great time.
So
it was a great time.
So it was a win for Silly.
Yeah, part of it does stem from the fact that the MLS Cup watch was before the game,
did a couple hours of good drinking time.
Yeah,
before
I think some
the
day
game.
Drinking didn't help, but it was good all around. So yeah. We had a good time. It was fun. Guys did watch the cup final at Frawley's. Lindsay and the Pius all set that up, and it was good to meet people, evidently. I was working, so I couldn't make it, which is awesome. Love my job. And they had a good time at the watch party. Hopefully brought a few new people. We actually ended up meeting a few new guys, so if they're listening, welcome again.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, I was at the first couple of Pius Hall games, and we have added a few to the corner.
To
and
the mix, yeah, it's working. Some of the guys came from the Bosnia International Friendly. They came to that last game. You know, we had guys show up that just kind of saw us having a good time. They came down.
Some of the guys that were at Pius Hall games before have moved to the corner this season. So
yeah,
it's all
we build the brand one person at a time.
It's all going to plan.
So the Pius Hall have a schedule coming up here of the Arena Open Cup,
the U.S. Arena Open Cup. This is like the U.S. Open Cup, only it's for indoor teams.
Hence the
arena addition to the title.
Yes, there you go.
The Pius Hall are in that. I don't think they were in that last year. I think this is the first year they've been in that competition, and that game is this coming Saturday, the 14th.
Who do they play? Do we know?
They play the AAC Eagles. And they're from Chicago area.
That's a terrible name.
Well, we'll get back to that in just a second.
Because the week after they play the Cleveland Freeze.
Right. Who mandated that indoor teams have to have the worst fucking names ever?
I mean, it makes the IHL names of the mid-90s look brilliant.
Right, right.
I mean, disasters.
This is
adverbs.
It started with the UFL. Or the USFL. And, you know, they just have gotten worse since then. When you started going naming teams after adverbs,
natural disasters,
and not even natural disasters, just like feelings. Like, it's a little chilly. Let's call our team the Chili.
The Montreal Sad.
Yeah, exactly. So, I like the Pius Hall.
Yeah, suddenly the Pius Hall is
like
the best
fits,
name in the league.
You know, the Pius Hall bird over there in Alton. It all goes together.
Mythical.
Really, best name in the league.
Oh, by far away.
I mean, you got the Waza low flow toilets. You've got the Freeze. You know, had the Vortex.
The B-52s.
I kind of like the B-52s just because that's where the Bombers are based out of in Wichita. But
since there's a band,
but
called
it,
the B-52s,
but
it,
yeah,
it
makes
really
makes me think Rock Lobster.
Yes,
every time.
Fred Schneider is not exactly a masculine man to have as a.
No.
Front man.
Although, if there was a picture of Fred Schneider on their jersey.
Oh, my God. That would be the
best. I would buy a fucking B-52's jersey.
I was originally thinking, you know, the women with the beehive hair, but Fredders. Or Fredders.
You know the
Fred Schneider?
The Columbus Crew? You know their badge?
Yeah, how it's got
If it was
men.
Like that with Fred Schneider in the middle and the beehives on the side.
Done. I'm buying it.
Fuck, I'm going to call them tomorrow. Boys, I'm thinking rebrand. You can keep the name, but we're redoing the logo.
We insist you keep the name.
Yeah.
Could they have shoulder patches, which are like, you know...
Epaulettes.
I was thinking it was going to be like a shack on one side and a lobster claw on the other.
That would be good. That would be good.
That'd be the home and away patches.
Yes.
But yeah, so the Pius Hall have a lot going on coming up here. So get out and enjoy it and support it.
It is fun. It is a good time.
Very silly by us.
Lots of silliness. And hopefully they'll get it turned around. Hopefully they'll start winning. But even if they don't, we have fun.
And at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Yes. It is the silly season.
I don't think that's a Macy's ad.
No.
The season to be silly. So speaking of the MLS watch party, there was a MLS Cup final.
Yep.
And I'd rather not talk about it anymore. So moving on.
We have a lot of KC Wiz fans in the group.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for them.
I don't remember a lot of these people being fans when they were the Wiz and playing to 200 people in Arrowhead.
Well, but...
But hey, they're fun. They're new.
Give them their
they're exciting.
The rebrand has worked.
It did. It did a lot.
They culminated that with the hosting of the MLS Cup and winning it in front of their home fans and in 12-degree weather. You know, good for them. It was an entertaining game.
It was, except for the end.
Well, yeah. I mean, any time a final comes down to penalty kicks, I think that's not the ideal situation. But good for KC. I think they've earned their place, and that was a nice little...
just not this year against RSL.
Yeah, I wanted RSL to win too, but I would have been happy with either one of these teams. I love the small markets without the big name DPs.
That was my favorite part about it, really. In the big, you know, there was no Henry or Donovan or Deuce or any of those guys involved. It was just...
And St. Louis did have a couple of connections to the game.
Big time.
Lawrence Olam, former Lion, former Piasol player.
Had a lot of good touches, too.
It came into the game coming off of a broken fibula or tibia or something. He's been recovering.
That sounds painful.
Yeah. The Wizards, I'm going to keep calling them Wizards. Just
I'm good with that.
They suffered an injury like 6 minutes into the game. So Olam came in, made an appearance, and did some good work.
And the 21-year-old, yes, he's only 21, Luis Gil, who played for AC St. Louis.
Well, he came on loan from Real Salt Lake.
He played for him, though.
Right. And Schuler played for AC St. Louis, too.
Yes, he did.
So a couple of connections on that side
of
the ball.
Forgot about him. Yep. Good job. That was a weird thing when I was noticing that Luis Gil, he's only 21. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
He was like four.
He was 16, I think, when he was here.
Yeah. That's absurd. Well, no, that wouldn't be right. He'd be like 17.
Okay. Well, fuck me.
later.
But no, kids got a lot of talent, a lot of upside. Won't make this World Cup, but I will not be surprised to see him in the United States World Cup setup in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, a definite contributor. There's no question that. That's assuming that Jurgen likes him, Jurgen's still around.
Yeah.
But anyway, so speaking of MLS, Commissioner Don Garber gave his little State of the Union.
The week of the finals, it's customary for Don to break out his State of the Union.
Well, I was hoping you were going to say break out in song and dance.
He did a little song and dance.
I hope he did the worm. I can do the boogaloo.
It's always the most exciting part of any Commissioner Garber speak is when he starts talking about expansion. Everybody gets excited about expansion. As you know, Orlando City has been awarded MLS 21.
And good for them.
Good for them. They've earned it.
110%.
It's likely that Mr. Beckham will get MLS 22 in Miami.
I think it's a little bit more than likely at this point.
Yeah, it is supposed to be announced by January 1st because I believe Beckham's official clause runs out at the end of this year.
Ooh.
So he has to exercise that purchase clause.
Or maybe he just has to exercise.
Whatever. I think we expect Miami to be announced. Probably not to start 2015 with New York and Orlando, probably to start 16 or 17. Atlanta, still the odds-on favorite to get 23. Just because it fills in that southeast quadrant. It's got Blank's money. They're going to do the new Atlanta Falcons Stadium as a dual purpose, kind of like in Seattle.
Open top, the whole nine yards.
Yep, so that's going to happen. But behind Don Garber, the magical slideshow popped up with the expansion map, and there were a couple more teams there with little arrows next to their name, or cities. One of them happened to be...
Des Moines, Iowa.
No.
Oh.
I believe the teams or the cities were San Antonio, which we know the Scorpions are building up in the NASL.
And doing a damn good job of it.
Yes. Minneapolis had an arrow by their name.
Again.
We know the Dark Stars up there.
Dark Clouds, the Minnesota Stars.
Minnesota Star. Well, now they're Minnesota United.
Yes.
And the Dark Clouds.
Or Dark Star United Clouds.
Dark Star United Clouds. The Death Loon. I love the Death Loon that is on their official crest. It's awesome. Everything.
Anytime you have something death on your crest.
Everything going on in Minnesota is funny. They've got a Loch Ness Monster hidden on their jersey. They do.
I know. It's awesome.
Fucking beautiful. The fans are the Dark Clouds. They follow you wherever you go. I mean, I love it.
No, they've done it well. I mean, and that's, again, it's another example of a team incorporating the supporters groups and the fans.
Most definitely.
Into it the right way. It's not a soccer mom situation.
Right. And St. Louis also had a little arrow next to their name on the map.
What?
They did.
Wow.
And Mr. Garber made reference to the success we've had selling out the friendlies.
That's... which is something that we've talked about, you know, that this is what gets people's attention.
Right.
Unfortunately, there's no mention of whether or not it got somebody with money's attention.
Yeah, that's, I mean, obviously, we all know nothing's going to happen without big money and a new stadium. But at least we're on the map again.
But I did get my Mega Millions ticket.
There we
go. So that's a start.
But St. Louis hasn't been on the map the last couple times since the Cooper era. Now we're back on the map. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, nobody get excited. Nobody send in your money for your season tickets yet. It's not going to happen. But it's nice to see us at least mentioned in the conversation again.
We have a pulse.
Yes.
We're no longer flatlining. We have a pulse. We're on people's radar.
Right.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, so, I think it's, personally, I think it's just because Don saw the announcement of IKEA coming to town. And
could be.
He wanted to get an Ulkstog.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Well, and I mean, it, you know, I say to the fans of St. Louis, take it as a pat on the back for the good work we've done coming out and supporting the friendlies that have been here.
It's important.
And to continue to do so, because maybe an investor will see that and say, I'd like to put a team there.
Well, and that's also where supporting our local teams comes into play, too, because it shows that we're not just glory hounds wanting the big special games, that we're doing the little shit that we need to do, too, as well.
Exactly. And I'll go ahead and throw this out there. I mentioned it last podcast. I'm reading the book about Sounders FC, Authentic Masterpiece. I forget. It's got a real pretentious title. No, it does.
Wait, Sounders and Pretentious? Never.
No. Don't go down that direction. But if you're looking for a Christmas gift for a soccer fan, or you want a soccer fan, as a soccer fan, you want a gift to tell somebody, this book is great. I just started reading it last couple nights, like getting into it. It really strikes a lot of chords because they have done it right in Seattle. They had a USL 1 team forever. They've been wanting to go pro.
Like 20-something years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, the Sounders were an NASL team that, you know, when that league folded, they started up in USL. They wanted to go MLS for years, but waited and waited and waited until the time was right.
And having Microsoft money helps.
They did get the right investors. It's a fascinating read if you're a fan of business, too. Because you say that, Paul Allen didn't put in any money.
Oh, really?
So I'll just say you need to read it. Paul Allen contributed a lot with the Seahawks organization, but his wasn't a money investment. Roth was the money. Hanauer was the money. Hanauer owned the USL team.
What about Drew Carey?
Drew Carey came in, and he's an important part of that process. It's a great book, but the part that I wanted to
don't
tell,
spoil the ending. I want to know if they get a team or not.
I won't let the cat out of the bag. But the part that I really like so far is it talks a lot about the ECS, the Emerald City Supporters, and how the bars around the area, the soccer bars, the guys remember. Oh yeah, it was 30 guys.
That sounds familiar.
And they loved soccer.
Hmm.
They showed up to the USL 1 games. They had fun. They came to the bars. They, you know, would show up for games in, you know, on TV. And slowly grew. And that USL 1 team had about 1,000 people in attendance for years and years and years. They would have big time games come in. Friendlies.
Did they give a Singapore cane to one of their alcoholics?
Maybe. I don't know. Haven't got there yet.
Okay.
but no, this is how it starts. And as I'm reading that, I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe what we're doing here isn't completely in vain. You know, they're...
I'm glad my checkbook will be glad to hear that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're never going to make millions, but...
fuck it. Podcast over. I quit.
But no, they did it the right way. The team did it the right way. It's a great book. It's, you know, and I mentioned last time how MLS wanted them to go after the soccer moms and wanted them to put it soccer-specific stadium in the suburbs.
I want to go after the soccer moms. Wait, not that.
Shut up. They wanted to put a soccer-specific stadium in the suburbs, not downtown. They wanted them to target 10,000 season ticket holders.
They did a little bit better.
Seattle said, no, I think we're going to go a different direction. We're going to go after the soccer fans. We're going to go after hardcore young adults, not kids. We're going after adults. And yeah, it's turned out well for them. They're averaging over 40,000 season tickets. So yeah,
they're almost considering they're almost filling a football stadium regularly. That's
well, and they do routinely open the rest of it, you know, four or five times a game or a season to have 60,000. So
that's just absurd.
So anyway, that's just that wasn't on our notes. That was just a little aside. Just go on to Amazon and look for Sounders FC. Authentic whatever in the books and you'll see it. Great book.
And for anybody that cares, I'm reading Jim Gaffigan's Dad is Fat, so I won't go into it like Brad did, but it's a good book so far. Dad is Fat,
there you go.
That's our book hour.
Okay,
so, speaking of supporting your team,
yes,
the Fire and Ice are back in the news again.
Our lovable Britneys,
there's a lot of them. First, Rachel Tejada. Brittany, number Brittany, is in the news again.
She may have been the number one Brittany.
Probably. She may have been the most offensively gifted Brittany.
The most offensive Brittany.
Yes. I realized halfway through that. I was like, that's going to come out wrong. No, that's definitely Erica.
Ah. No. Rachel had a great season for Fire and Ice.
Yes,
and she's continued to have a great season at college because she is
up for an award. I don't remember what it is.
Greatest Brittany
Intern
ever.
Intern Kenny, what was that award? Women's College. Soccer. Get on the microphone, idiot.
It is a Women's College Soccer Player of the Year.
There you go.
So congratulations to her. That's definitely a high kudos in the very competitive world of women's soccer right now in the college ranks.
Yes.
The Fire and Ice are also going to be having their first round of tryouts coming up here soon, the weekend of the 28th at the Family Sportplex in Belleville.
I think they've got a new indoor field for this event.
Yeah, and it's one of the field turf, or whatever it's called, where they said they can actually wear cleats.
Right.
And
there's no walls.
Really?
It's kind of like a futsal, but it's on the artificial turf. It's kind of an interesting situation
I'd
they've
like
got
to do
set
my
up.
Backyard in that.
I would, too.
That would be awesome.
So, yeah, that's tryouts coming up 12/28, and for more information, just go to the Fire and Ice website.
Which is a great plan, too, because the kids are going to be home from college.
Right.
They're going to be, you know, their season's over.
I'm telling you, Brittany Lindsay thinks things through.
She's, you know, give her a lot of credit. She's done a hell of a job hitting on all the right cylinders here.
And there is also a Battle of the Britneys tournament.
Oh, wait, is this something that we can talk about in public?
Yes.
Or is it, like, private time? Battle of the Britneys.
No, it's a soccer tournament.
Oh, damn it.
That's going to be also the 20th and through the 22nd of December.
So what is the Battle of the Britneys?
It's an indoor soccer tournament for various, I don't know, Kenny's showing Mitch porn on his phone.
No, he was talking about the voting for Miss Tejada.
No. She's
in second right now. No, we can help her out.
We will promote the shit out of it on Facebook.
Can we throw things at Kenny?
Yeah.
Wait, it's my basement. Don't throw glass.
Okay. But yeah, there's going to be a tournament, which Fire and Ice is directly involved in organizing and running. And then, like you said, the tryouts. So I would suggest...
keep an eye on it.
Get a hold of Lindsay and or Erica on the Fire and Ice page and find out more.
Again, firing on all the right cylinders. It's also worth mentioning, too, that we have heard a little bit of news from the St. Louis City Defenders United...
Reynas
now, that they have a new name. And supposedly they're going to be doing tryouts soon as well. We haven't gotten any of the details yet, but...
No, but they've renamed themselves the Reynas. I don't know what that is in reference to.
Claudio?
No, it's spelled different than Claudio. It's spelled like...
Pepe.
So I don't know if he's a big Pepe Reina fan or
why. As soon as I say Pepe, why do I start thinking tequila?
I don't know.
Other than we're alcoholics,
yes.
But you know, hey. So yeah, so that they're on the up and up. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So let's see what else. Let's talk about girls some more, and not in a creepy perverted
let's
way.
Let's talk about girls.
Yeah. Oh baby,
young girls.
I want to talk about the girls.
The Glavin system, U18 girls, finished third in nationals.
Holy shit.
And I don't know specifically what nationals it is or if it's based on size or whatever.
I did see that there was a few teams in there that I recognized the name of that had affiliations with other clubs. So this seems like it's a pretty big deal.
Well, yeah, anytime you finish third in the nation in Tiddlywinks, it's a big deal.
There's a Tiddlywinks tournament?
Sure.
I'm gone.
I'm sure there
is. Fuck this podcast. I'm out of here.
Why wouldn't there be? So,
because where can you even get it anymore?
Yeah, you might have to make your own.
Whatever happened to Tiddlywinks?
It's back when they had white walls.
That's right.
So congratulations to the Glavin U18 girls.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again,
huge. It's really big, yeah.
Yeah, and I did notice in the picture that they are wearing the lion strip with the horizontal lines, and, you know, it's representing the brand still out there.
Yep.
So good on them. Unfortunately, we do have some bad news to go along with the Lions brand.
Yes.
Last week, we were informed by the Lions officials that a defender from last year, Yusuf Kunda, has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Yes.
And it's going to be a tough road for him, and he needs all the support he can get. We lost a Luligan to cancer, and everybody's lost somebody to cancer, it seems.
Yeah.
So we know he's got a tough one, but Luligans are behind you, Yusuf, and we wish you the best.
We are going to be working with the Lions. We don't know. There'll be some sort of charity event, or there'll be some sort of collection.
Fundraiser, whatever
right.
we can do.
And so just keep an eye on the Facebook and Twitter pages, and we will let you know what we're doing specifically for Yusuf.
If you're into prayers, he can definitely use them. If you're into animal sacrifice, a goat, a rabbit, it's probably a good idea too. So
yeah, whatever you do, whatever you want to do to wish some positive will towards Yusuf, it would be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely.
He's a great guy. All his teammates who I talked to were just, floored by this news. You know, I mean, obviously you don't want anybody to get cancer, but to a man, they're all like, he was such a great guy, such a great teammate.
Is such a great guy.
Yeah, no, I meant last season. No, yes. And
let's stay positive here, Brad.
Right, right. So, support. I mean, yes.
Positive vibes.
Yes.
Why you always got to be negative, Brad?
I'm sorry, I did not mean it that way.
That's what you do.
So terrible news, but we're behind you, Yusuf, and we look forward to seeing you back out on the pitch.
Get well.
Yep.
So let's get back positive. That was enough downer time for now.
Yep.
Well, at least until we talk about the U.S. team. So, USL Pro. We haven't heard anything about the Chupacabras.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some news about the Chupacabras. Well, not specifically about the Chupacabras, but about USL Pro. Here's the thing.
They're all changing their names to Chupacabras.
Yes. We're not getting the Chupacabras, but Phoenix is. No. Kidding.
It would be appropriate if the team was changed name.
Really? I mean, they're getting new ownership. They should.
Again.
If they want to pay us for the rights to the name.
I think it's on record enough that we own the name.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just as common law.
I got a lawyer. I made it happen.
In international waters.
Exactly. No, USL Pro coming out with a couple stories. They've made no secret. They want to expand. Obviously, they want to expand in the Midwest and the West because East Coast is pretty well taken care of. St. Louis has been mentioned several times as one of the potential locations. That looks like for 2014, they're going to be at 15 teams. They had 13 in 2013. They're losing 2, and they are gaining 4.
Trying to do the math there.
So it was 13.
I was under the impression there would be no math.
It was 13. They lost 2, would 11. Take them down to 11.
Okay.
But they're gaining 4, which would take them back up to 15.
Texas with a dollar sign.
Texas with a dollar sign, 3.
Okay.
Here's what's going on. Tampa Bay is folding.
With no surprise.
And I mean, it's a market that's already got the Rowdies in NASL. Probably going to be a hard slog to support 2 teams in that market. And the Rowdies draw very well. They've got a lot of tradition, a lot of history.
It's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Didn't they have some weird name, too?
It was like
VSI
some
VHS.
Initials, yes.
They lost to Betamax.
Antigua and Barbuda is officially folding. They had a lot of problems.
But from what I've heard, they're not actually folding as much as they're...
They're not in the USL Pro anymore.
They're going to be in some...
Caribbean League or something. Right. Travel was always...
Caribbean League! Now we're sharing the same teams!
Thank you.
You said you wanted more singing on the podcast.
I do want more singing.
Sorry. Can we have a musical?
That was, yes. Not now.
Oh, shit.
we'll get you a cane next week, Rocco. But Antigua was plagued by problems. Travel was always an issue.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, when you got to cross a gulf, that's right, pretty much right. A bad sign.
So they're officially no longer in USL Pro, but they're getting two new expansion teams, Sacramento.
Chupacabras.
The Sacramento Republic and the Oklahoma City Energy.
That's such a fucking bad
again,
name.
Again, on the subject of bad name teams.
Oh, my God. And their logo is not much better.
You know, I saw all the other logos and other team names. They got Energy the best one. Because there were some bad ones in there.
It was an ugly process.
So the logo is not bad. The colors are Sounders colors. Well, not rave-ish.
Close enough.
But green and blue. So, yeah.
But the Sacramento kit.
Sacramento kit's looking good.
That's a sharp one.
Brown.
With
very
brown
nice.
Sash.
Yeah.
Two-tone brown.
The other
new brown.
The other two teams the USL Pro is adding are MLS reserve teams, as you know, with the new deal. MLS teams are free to either form an affiliation with the USL team or field their own.
Would the Wizards team be the P?
You're making this difficult.
This is role reversal.
The Galaxy are going to have their own team this year in USL Pro, and FC Dallas are going to have their own team with USL Pro.
Donkey Show. Oh, I hope the team's named Donkey Show.
That would be awesome. I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know. Again, we can say it is. That one caught a lot of people off guard, but the more I looked into it, Dallas has a strong academy system down there.
Yeah, it's vastly underrated, or
so,
under the radar, I should say.
So it makes sense for Dallas. By 2015, all MLS teams have to decide. They have to either have an affiliation in place or have their own reserve team playing in USL Pro. So you figure a few more will start their own teams. And this week, or not this week, last couple weeks, Houston affiliated with the Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Who have an awesome stadium coming.
Oh, it's a beautiful stadium. It's perfect. Kansas City still is affiliated with Orlando City. They're going to keep that affiliation for this year. It runs out at the end of this year, obviously, because Orlando City is going to be playing in the USL. MLS. They're...
would be kind of like the Pittsburgh Pirates or the feeder team for everybody else in MLB.
Right. So Kansas City will be looking for a new affiliate team. Vermes went as far as to mention St. Louis as a possibility. Mm. Now, that do not read into that. Do not think, oh, well, the paperwork's done. He also mentioned the new Oklahoma City franchise as a potential affiliate and a couple other sites that, or maybe even having it there.
Kirksville, Missouri.
No, could be anywhere else, but
now they could have it in Kansas City, for example. Correct.
They could very easily, either do their own team, or they could work with a PDL team to move them up to pro. Mm-hmm. It could be any number of scenarios.
It's a lot of possibilities that would
right.
make it really interesting.
Right. Vermes did say he'd like to keep it closer in the region than Orlando City is.
Every time you say Vermes, I keep thinking you're going to say Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil.
I keep waiting for you to start crying.
You didn't hear the news? Kansas City won the MLS Cup. Vermes has taken a front office position, and Dick Vermeil is coming in.
I love these guys. He's
exactly.
Crying.
Exactly. So anyway, the number that has been thrown out as USL's target is 30 cities. They'd like to be in
Jesus.
30 cities. Now, there wasn't a timeline, but, you know, you can start to see that St. Louis is very definitely one of their targets for that big number. It's not going to happen in 2014. Well, we've been told it could still happen, but we're thinking it's not going to happen. 2015 is still a possibility, but it may not even happen in 2015. So keep your ear out. Chupacabras will eventually happen. And we'll be there to tell you when.
And we're going to call them Chupacabras no matter what the team name is.
I think it makes the most sense.
Of course it does.
Somebody tried to give us a grief on the Facebook page. You know, if you guys keep calling them the Chupacabras, it makes it seem like a joke. I'm like, honestly, if everything's set to go and they say, I don't know, the fans are calling him Chupacabras, let's pull the plug. If it's that fragile of a situation, we don't want him.
Well, you know, we were trying to make a decision on where we should put this team.
Right.
And we were looking at a bunch of cities. And on Big Soccer, they talked a lot of good things about Union, Missouri.
And it
became, then we thought about St. Louis, and we saw the supporters calling them the Chupacabras.
And we feel more comfortable in Oklahoma, where they're calling them Energy.
Energy.
I mean, fuck off. Chupacabras would be the best thing to happen to USL Pro.
It's much like the Albuquerque Isotopes.
They've got Riverhounds. They've got Energy. They've got a lot of bad fucking names in that league. Chupacabras would be the best thing that could happen to USL
Pro. You
know
how many hats and shirts they'd sell? Just to me.
Infinity. Infinity is the answer to that question.
As you can make them.
Start printing them. Don't stop. Because you're never going to meet demand. It's like Xbox Ones for Christmas. Everybody fucking wants one.
Can you imagine going under the tree and getting your Chupacabra FC jersey?
No, go to Cafe Press. I'm making them.
Oh.
We will make this happen. We will have full merchandise and kits before we even get a team.
Well, it is like Big Soccer, then.
It is like Big Soccer, yeah. We're having a kit design contest.
For a team that doesn't exist and doesn't have owners and doesn't have anything.
We'll present our list of demands. We need a drum closet, and we'd like you to wear this shirt.
We will determine who your sponsors will be.
Yes.
So,
although IKEA on the front of a Chupacabra shirt.
That would be so fucking awesome.
Then you get the Swedes, you get the Mexicans, you get everybody.
Well, and you know, the Rams and the Blues also have the blue and gold already, so you can, you know, keep with that.
Yeah.
Add a little red trim for the Cardinals. You can incorporate it all.
Maybe we can get the Rams old kits with the bright yellow.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know, and you got some shorts laying around.
Oh, especially if the horns could go on the sleeves of a soccer jersey.
Yeah, well, and we'll put an iron on over the shorts, you know, where the Rams logo is. We'll slap a Chupacabra over the top of it.
Fangs.
Fucking fangs and shit. Make it evil.
Make it mean.
Yep.
So, since we're on the upswing of good news here, the city has a new team, FC Bordeaux. They're going to be an NPSL team. We've heard bits and pieces from them, but as of late, they've been a little more active on the Twittering and on the Facebooking and informationing. What you drinking there?
A Big Bison Ale from Crown Valley.
How is it?
It's all right. Pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah. It's. I'm looking for more information. It's a Belgian-style double, full-bodied and rich, with notes of raisin and plum. That's what I was tasting. I was tasting a little fruitiness in there. I wondered what that 6. Was. 6.9. As my son would say, he's 13. 69.
Wow.
Woo! You don't want a period in the middle of your 69. You don't want that, son. Sorry. I've gotten through my news for the day.
I'm so glad my son is not old enough for these conversations.
Oh, my God.
I'm not ready for this.
Anytime.
I need a glass.
The numbers 6 and 9 appear.
Oh, glasses down here. Good job, Kenny. Kenny's being a good beer wench today. I'm proud of him.
I think Kenny's a Kenny.
I think my wife's going to be terrified and ask me never to allow him in the house again.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, FC Bordeaux.
Back to Bordeaux.
So they're on the upswing. They've already got a couple sponsors lined up, they've said. They are attending the NPSL Midwest AGM in Madison, Wisconsin on the 11th of January.
And that's when the schedule, I think, is going to be finalized.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be hearing in January when we can go out and see our new team.
I'm starting to get real curious about this team. And here's the thing. I don't know really in the long run what it's going to mean in terms of how it's going to work with having multiple teams in the area to support.
It's difficult.
It's going to be difficult. It's likely going to be at St. Louis University High. Thank you, Kenny.
Somewhere in the city for sure is his plan.
And that probably means somewhere dry is part of the problem.
At least to start, yeah.
And as I'm pouring a beer, that's a great statement to make there.
I have not met him yet. I know he's reached out and talked to some of our members, and he's saying the right things. They don't want to go after soccer moms and kids and families. They want to go after hardcore soccer fans.
I know that might scare some people because it's a Bosnian owned team, and there seems to be a little bit of a slant towards that right now. But as the friendly showed the rumors, the bad stereotypes are unfounded.
No, I mean, we had our tailgate right next to a big Bosnian tailgate, and there was nothing but love. I mean, everybody got along.
I even got to get on Bosnian Prime.
Yeah, the big Bosnian truck was there. No, I don't see that being an issue. And he has said he's not. It's not a Bosnian team. He's going to have an international flavor to it. He wants, you know, he wants it to represent the entire city. So
again, he's saying the right things.
Yeah. So I mean, all we can do is wait and see. And no, I'm positive about what I've heard so far, and wish for the best.
I agree. They've already got their colors picked out. That's like a golden maroon.
Yep. Biggest problem is we're probably going to have some conflict, some overlap with Lions games. I'm sure the season is going on simultaneously with USLPDL, but we'll work it out. We'll figure out something.
Yeah, I know a lot of the members are taking a keen interest in it being closer to home for a lot of people than driving out to the Lions.
That's definitely a big plus, being in the city versus St. Charles.
But, again, it's a different beast. The NPSL is, you know, it's about the same level of competition, but
technically the same level on the pyramid as USLPDL.
But you're looking at guys that get paid.
A little bit.
And we have a friend that's from Chattanooga. They have a team down there that's fairly well attended in the 1,000-plus range.
Yeah. They've got Detroit. Detroit's the
model.
The model for that league. They're doing well. They get a lot of fans. They get a lot of hardcore fans.
Yeah, there's something to be said about this. It's something to definitely be on our radar, because there's a lot of the things that we discuss that the NPSL does the way we talk.
Right. And let's go ahead and throw it out there. The Lions haven't been a perfect organization to work with. I mean, I love Jim, I love Tony, but
it's difficult because it's just the two of them a lot of times, and
they've
concerns.
They've left some things lacking that a lot of people are, I won't say fed up with, but
concerned
about, and they're looking forward to seeing what this new team has to offer. So, I mean, that should be good, though.
Competition is a great thing.
Force the Lions to step up a little bit. So,
in my most Republican thought process I can come up with, that, you know, competition among businesses is a good thing.
Right.
And it's, yeah, I'm terrible.
And hopefully the Lions and Bordeaux will have a nice rivalry. Hopefully they'll play some friendlies and they'll...
And again, so this comes to an article that you wrote recently, which I would like to mention at this point in time. We're going to have 4-plus teams in the area to support.
Yeah, definitely.
While some see that as being stretched thin, we're kind of rich in that respect.
It's a good problem to have. You know, obviously we can't go to everything. It's just not possible. And there will be times that we'll split up. Maybe some people will go to a Fire and Ice game. Some people will... Kenny's going to go hold it for
intern
you.
Intern Kenny, you don't have to hold his penis while he pees.
Jesus Christ, Kenny. Quit being such an eager beaver. So,
Jesus.
Anyway, yeah, it may lead to some conflicts on certain days. Maybe some people will choose to go to one team over the other. But like you said, it's more source to draw from, more fans in general. That's always good.
And keeps us on people's radars.
Yep.
The more eyes that are on us, the better that we're at. I mean, we've seen that with the MLS. We're seeing that with everybody else.
Right.
You know, and you know, again, this is something else.
Piss us off, we'll send Rocco.
with a kendo stick.
Give him a bottle of nitrine and a kendo stick.
So we talked about something good. Now let's go to something shitty again.
Okay.
World Cup draw was this past week.
Holy fuckballs.
We had talked many times before. The pundits have talked. There was a good chance of us getting a very bad draw.
There was the generator that I know most U.S. soccer fans played with. There was the website where you could do your virtual draw, and it seemed like every time I did it, it just was bad. But I don't think any of my virtual draws
were nearly this bad.
Were as bad as what came out.
And let's start with part of this, too, is that we were automatically going to have a difficult draw just because of us being put into the same pot as the Asian teams.
Yes.
That, you know, when Japan and Korea these teams that we can kind of get a win out of here and there that can be that bottom of the group, when they're in our pot, it's automatically a tough thing. And then you also add in, you know, who's one that I was thinking of earlier? You know, you've got Korea, you've got Iran.
We could have hoped
Honduras.
We could have hoped for an Oceania team, or like you said, one of the Arabian teams, but no such luck.
No,
Germany was the seeded team in our group,
which was really painful, because when they were doing the seed, you know, when they were coming around to us, it got to the point where it's like, okay, we could have Uruguay, we could have Switzerland, we could have Belgium, or we could have Argentina and Germany.
So, yeah, there was no good one there. Maybe Switzerland was the best we could have had.
Oh, by far and away.
But
and Belgium.
Belgium's fucking tough. They're going to be a dark horse this tournament.
They are, but let's be honest. They're not Germany.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I think we expected one killer in our group.
You always have one. You have to.
Right.
That's just the way it works.
Germany was our killer. Then, Ghana.
Who we've struggled with. And who are
probably the best team in Africa.
I would say so, yes.
I mean, they're the ones that prevented our Bob Bradley from getting Egypt into the World Cup.
And the thing is that they can take it to you. If you win, you're still going to have to earn it.
Yes. So that's a tough game. That is by no means a win.
No.
There is no such thing
as a win in this group.
If everything gets lucky, we can get points off Ghana.
And then we got Portugal.
That was the last one that came out of the pot, and it was like, of course, it's fucking Portugal.
And the thing is, too, is that they shit the bed in the tournament, in the Euro tournament.
Right. Technically, they came in as one of the final qualifiers.
Yeah. A wild card play, in so
right.
to speak.
And Ronaldo's playing like a man possessed right now, single-handedly could win, you know, get them out of the group.
I mean, we have to hope that he breaks an ankle or something at this point.
I think
I'm not wanting ill upon a guy.
Yeah.
Well, okay, some, yes. John Terry.
That said, this group is brutal. I think...
And I keep hearing other, like I was reading the other day, that the England fans were trying to say that they're in the group of doom.
I'm sorry, they've got Costa Rica in their group.
As soon as you have Costa Rica, you are not in a group of doom.
Right.
And really, Italy isn't the team that they used to be either.
No.
So you're not in the group of doom.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Quite frankly, just look at our group. Every one of the members of our group made it past the group stage last time.
Yeah.
Only two in England's group did.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, too, is that if you want to, another top group is that Group B, where you've got Spain, Netherlands, Chile, and Australia.
Again.
You know, Australia.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. You just got fucked.
Right. Yeah. Australia, thanks for coming. But I don't know. That said, if we do make it out of our group, if we do, we'll be battle-tested and ready to go.
Yeah, well, and the other good thing is, too, is that if you look at the brackets, the way they drop down, let's just say, well, either way, first or second place in this group, we're going to end up playing somebody out of the Group H, which is arguably probably one of the weakest groups out there.
Yeah, after Belgium.
Algeria, Russia, and Korea.
Russia has had some up times, but they're not what they were even a couple years ago.
Korea's a fairly walk.
Yeah, so Algeria doesn't scare me. I mean, not to say they'd be a cakewalk. Anybody you play in the World Cup is
they're there for a reason.
They've earned their spot there. But, you know, anything can happen. Sometimes in a group of death, it works out to your advantage because everybody beats up on each other. So if you can just maintain the status quo, you're there. You know, you could have a case where everybody beats everyone else.
Which is what we can really hope for in a lot of these circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, we start off with Ghana, probably the best thing for us. I mean, that's going to be the easiest game.
Out of the three, yes.
Out of the three. If we can grab
and
some points there.
And we go in the order of difficulty, too.
Right.
Ghana, Portugal, Germany.
So if we can somehow sneak a win versus Ghana, it opens up some possibilities.
Well, right away, the field completely changes.
Right.
If we draw against Ghana, we have a problem.
If we lose against Ghana,
it's over.
We're fucked. Yeah.
It's over. And I'd like to stay positive, but Germany is too good of a team right now to think that you have, that you're equals. You're not equals.
Right. And Portugal just, I mean, on any given day, they can beat anyone. So
now, I will say, in all fairness, that if we're playing our game, these could be good games.
Yeah, no, I mean, the United States is a much better team than they have been years past.
Keep Jermaine Jones off the field. That's my first thought.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take injuries to account, just like we said we want Ronaldo to be injured. You know, I mean, that goes for us, too. We get a couple key injuries, and we're fucked also.
Yeah,
so
if Timmy's out or anybody.
Michael Bradley, you know.
Yeah, and part of it is, too, is we're going to need some of these guys to play like they should. Guys like Deuce, who, you know, struggled in MLS.
Well, that, I think, had more to do with being in
season to season to
right,
season.
The one I'm worried about now, Josie. I mean, he finally got his first Premier League goal, and this is no knock on Josie. He's playing at Sunderland, and
it's a hard place to score.
It's a fucking nightmare. I mean, when he went there, a lot of us said, ooh, I don't know about that. But he's out of form just because of where he's at.
And it's going to be hard to, and, you know, with the goal scorers like that, once you're out, you start.
I realize Heron Bean was a much lower level of competition than the Premiership.
But confidence is a big
confidence,
factor.
Exactly. And he was scoring for fun in the Eredivisie. So hopefully he'll get on track a little bit, start scoring some goals for Sunderland.
Or maybe gets a transfer in January. Or,
yeah, I mean, goes on loan, something. But, if Josie starts scoring, that helps.
Helps big time. We're a team that can make something happen. Again, we just have to get firing on the cylinders and getting what we need out of these guys. Like, you know, for example, Bradley. Bradley's a game changer.
Yeah.
You know, letting these guys play their game. Like, it worries
well,
me.
Well, and that's what you talk about Jones. Bradley and Jones working together, somebody's got to let Bradley move forward.
Right.
I don't think Jones does it enough.
He's not that guy.
Well, they trade off, and I think we'd be better off with Cameron. I almost think we'd be better off with Beckerman because Beckerman's a stay-at-home guy that gives...
Let's Michael roam.
Right.
I agree. I'm not a big Beckerman fan, but I think when he's with Bradley, it's a safe pairing.
I still want Jones there because Jones does serve a purpose.
Get a red card.
If you need somebody taken out, Jones is your man. No, if God forbid something happened to Bradley, Jones takes
that
role.
Right,
yes, exactly.
Agreed, but he's not that primary guy. He's the secondary guy. And you have to have those.
But Jurgen loves him. Because
he's German.
I think we're stuck with that.
I do as well. And again, you know, if you get through, you're looking at playing somebody from that soft group, and then out of that you play ENF. Probably going to be Argentina.
Honestly, though, if you make it out of the group, then anything can happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, teams like France, Ecuador, Argentina, Bosnia.
And you're looking at a one game.
Any given Sunday.
Right, exactly.
So, and I'm done with this. No more World Cup talk.
It's pretty ugly, but join American Outlaws and watch the games this summer at Amsterdam.
Great transition to
Outlaws,
Brad.
Thank you.
So we continue to have fun with the American Outlaws St. Louis group. We're all brothers and sisters together in one. And they had their holiday party on Friday night. With the weather, it wasn't as well attended as people had hoped. I personally couldn't make it due to having to work bright and early the next morning. I thought drinking with the American Outlaws the night before working is not a good idea.
I didn't make it because I'm a giant puss. I would have had to drive 45 minutes in the snowy, and I just wasn't down for that.
Well, let's just be honest. You're just a puss, period. It has nothing to do with the snow.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Just wanted to level
some. But they also, they've unveiled their scarf. They're going to have scarves.
Badass looking scarf.
Pretty damn good looking scarf.
We highly recommend you join the American Outlaws and start getting on that list.
And unlike
did you do it, John? You finally did it? Well, there goes your fucking Christmas present, asshole.
Seriously, it's what is it? Is it $20 or $30? I can't remember.
I thought it was 25.
26. And
no, I'm not buying you it, Kenny.
And
fuck off.
And you get a free shirt. So and a bandana. And discounts on stuff. So it pays for itself.
Absolutely, asshole.
And with that, you also get priority to get tickets for games, which may be coming up in our future.
Yes, speaking of which.
Not just local, but if you decide you want to go to Pittsburgh for a game, or Columbus, or wherever you want to go, you can buy in with the American Outlaws. So.
Yes. So speaking of a local USA game, there's still the contention that there will be a USA-Bosnia game now that we don't have to worry about them in our group or anything like that.
They were not drawn in our group, so.
There are some concerns, I understand, from Mr. Klinsmann.
There are a couple potential hiccups with this happening. From what I understand, the same group that has put on the other friendlies is in charge of promoting this potential game.
They're going to be wearing Copa Mundials like Jürgen did.
I'm sure. No, Jürgen had to ditch the Adidas when he came on board. He's a Nike man now.
I know he is.
I mean, they sponsored him for 400 years, and
not only that, but they put him in some good looking stuff. Man.
Yeah, I think actually the first time Jürgen got the job, when Bob Bradley got the job, they wanted Jürgen. And I think that Adidas contract had a lot to do with him not getting the job.
That was the hangout from what we heard.
So, but he's wearing Nikes now, so everybody's happy. but anyway, they would like to do this game maybe in St. Louis again. The strong Bosnian population, the sellouts at the couple of friendlies before, it would be nice. A couple of hangups. If they do it at Bush, the field is not technically
regulation.
FIFA regulation.
It's about 10 yards short.
Right. Jürgen may want to say, hey, this is a tune-up for the World Cup. I want to make sure everything is perfect. If they do it at the Dome, which would seem likely in May, doesn't interfere with NFL season.
No, let's be honest. Even playing in the middle of the NFL season doesn't affect the Rams.
That's true. But then you've got... Oh, I lost my headphones.
You and the goddamn headphones.
I know, I'm sorry. But then you've also got things like... I completely... Hold on, there it is. Okay. It's cutting in and out. It's terrible. I don't know how I can continue. But anyway,
drink.
if they do it at the Dome, then you've got things like moving the grass in. Maybe Jürgen's not comfortable with throwing down a field. Right. So Jürgen's got to come to grips with that. Also, he was reportedly disappointed that the friendly here with Bosnia, Argentina, there were a lot of empty seats.
You can kiss my ass on that one.
But he's wanting to simulate World Cup experience, and he said something to the effect of he'd rather have a smaller stadium that was packed to get that environment.
Fuck him. Come here, we'll pack a stadium for our own team.
So,
no, I mean, let's be honest here, though, because the Bosnia game, a majority of people in the area, and when I say the area, I'm saying Illinois, Kansas, I'm saying a one state in every direction area, don't have a stake in that game. I'm not Argentinian. I'm not Bosnian. I'm there to see high-quality football, but I don't have a stake in it.
Right.
And you see Real Madrid, you're seeing one of the biggest teams in the world.
Right.
You see Chelsea City, you're seeing two of the best teams in the EPL that Newcastle beat. I'm sorry. Did I not bring that up yet?
No.
I can.
No, it's all right.
What did Arsenal do?
Arsenal are fine. Don't you worry about Arsenal. We're top of the table.
Kind of blew that against Everton, though.
Fuck, we're still top of the table.
Could have been 7 clear. Fuck. We're coming.
United and Chelsea lost, too. Don't bother me.
Hey, I know United lost. Newcastle knows United lost.
We drew, man. Don't worry about it. Fight later. Yeah, let's say that.
All right. But anyway, so
you don't have to convince me. I think they should have it here, too, but... Klinsmann is gearing up for a World Cup, and he's going to do what he thinks is best to prepare his team.
Well, then he needs to leave Jermaine Jones at home first.
But if he doesn't want it here, it won't be here. If he does, we will be glad to have that game.
Can't Anheuser-Busch just throw money at him? It's not the same Anheuser-Busch anymore. Never mind.
Yeah, and the beer.
How about Build-A-Bear?
He's from Germany. He's used to good beer.
I don't said nothing about beer. I said throw money at him.
Yeah, well,
just give him a whole bunch of Build-A-Bears.
That would be cool.
Put them in little Sieg Heil outfits. Oh, wrong German, sorry.
God damn, remember Dresden. So there may or may not be a game here in May.
Yeah, well, and again, I understand his concerns from a big picture point of view, but he's going to have to get over them because, you know what, you're playing in the goddamn rainforest in Brazil. You want to talk about? I mean, no, seriously. That one game.
That's the other thing we didn't mention about the World Cup. in addition to our lousy fucking draw, the travel.
Oh, my God.
And they, don't they travel 8,000 miles?
More, no, it's closer to 9,000, I think.
So, yeah.
Can you imagine the frequent flyer miles those guys are going
to
earn?
Yeah, and American Outlaws have chartered jets to help get the fans that are making the trip down to Brazil, but...
Well, the scariest thing that I read, and I forget what it was, but there's no highway system really to get in between these two things.
No, it's and literally
it was 55 days or 55 hours or something retarded to get from one side to the other.
Something Kenny, if you please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Something Kenny. It was one of these things where it's like there is no good way to get from the main stadium to this outlier rainforest stadium.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And people think I'm exaggerating when I say Rainforest Stadium. The rainforest is literally miles away from the stadium. If you do a Google Maps, it's, you know, a finger wide away from it, depending on the size of your monitor.
We're in Brazil. We're talking about fingers. Anyway, they've deforested a lot of Brazil.
Yeah, this is a good point.
They go in there with a tub of wax, and they just clear it.
Oh, that's where Brazilians come from.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Deforestation.
Yeah. I tell you what, Brad, let's take a little break here.
Okay.
And we'll come back and finish up with the year in review.
Got a couple more things, and we'll do that.
Let's take a break. Not only do the Luligans support the Lions, the Piasaw, and the Fire and Ice, but we also support each other. Turn to Luligan-owned businesses when making your business decisions. Get your custom t-shirts and apparel from Adrenaline Prints. Immortalize loved ones or events with a tattoo from the Washington Tattoo Collective. And use your electric for your home and business electrical services. Luligans working together to help grow soccer in St. Louis. And now, back to the foolishness of This Is Silly with the Luligans. And we're back. I had to take a piss break.
Yep.
And I had to blow my nose.
I did not piss or blow my nose.
I did both. Not at the same time, because that would have been messy.
Yeah.
Would have gone everywhere.
I don't know what Argentina has to do with anything, but...
messy joke.
See what I did there?
Can we naturalize
Let's him? Call that. When you piss and blow your nose at the same time, that's a messy. Sorry, I'll be right back. I gotta go messy.
I would think that would be high-stepping around or forgetting to pay my taxes. One of the two. So we were just talking during our little break here about our fun with the Piasaw.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
this is not Festivus, Brad.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay, but anyway, so we started kind of going through how things were at the game, and it's like, well, you know what? These are conversations we probably should have on the podcast since John doesn't turn his phone off during the podcast. Fucking amateur. Some producer you are.
Booty call.
No, Kenny's right here.
Anyway.
So we were just talking about how the growth of the Luligans. Chances are this is probably going to be our last podcast of the year. The next couple weeks.
Oh, I thought you were just ending it. This. Chances are this is our last podcast.
No.
Fuck it, I'm out.
Spent too much money on this shit already. We got to keep this going for a while. I got to get some return on investment. Like zero.
Yep.
I need to make a dollar. But I was like, well, we need to kind of start, you know, talking about how it's been an eventful year.
Yes.
It's been an up and down year. We had good. We had bad. We had mediocre. We had not so mediocre. But all in all, the overall, I'd say, is a positive year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the friendlies were great.
Yep.
Fire and ice were great.
We've experienced some growth from all of these positive things. We've got a lot of new members showing up, which is good. Very good. But I'm speaking for myself, maybe you, maybe some of the guys.
You don't talk for me.
Some of the people that have been around from day one. We have a tendency to be very protective of our brand, very protective of, you know, we are the original Luligans. But with growth comes change. I mean, some of that new blood is going to be what propels us forward. So some of the new people that are just finding out about us are going to be vital parts of the Luligans.
Absolutely. And I like to use people like Matt Bird and Jack, who came aboard and made immediate positive contributions just in their presence,
right?
But then also in activities, you know, being the guys that you can count on to get shit done,
right?
And that's kind of where our conversation was going about who does different things. And for example, this past week at the Piasaw game, Spencer came and he had the printouts for the signs. He went to Kinko's or wherever it was and had them printed off, at, you know, out of his own pocket. And good on him. I think that's awesome. A new guy who you know, we didn't quite know a couple weeks ago that, you know, we knew of him online, but nobody had met him. And here he is right away, just, you know, hey, this is what I can do. He contributed right away. And now everybody can't do everything. I understand that. But, you know, he did something. And I think that's kind of what I'm looking for out of the group as a whole. Everybody's got to find something that they can do. We've said that many times before. You and I have the podcast. You're the scarf designer. You're the shirt designer. You give me back massages in a non-threatening way. Everybody's got to find something they can do. Pat Mahoney recently, he and Jason Petrillo had kind of spearheaded an idea. And let's bring this up right now because this is a great topic. That we need to start getting a little more giving back to the community.
Right.
That's a good way to get our name out there. That it's not just about taking their money and their beers and their women.
Yeah.
And by women, I mean their magazines, I guess. Because we're not exactly an attractive bunch.
No.
But so the conversation came up, and we're going to do this the first Saturday of the new year. We're going to have a frozen bowl.
Right.
We haven't come up with a clever name yet.
Right.
We haven't come up with anything really clever or where it's going to be yet. We're working at several different places. But have an outdoor soccer game with the Luligans and the American Outlaws and maybe see if we can have Lions players that are in town or Fire and Ice players that are in town come be our supporters for that day.
Right.
And either raise money or do a food drive, something along those lines. We have lots of ways that we can give back. It's time we start doing something. But the thing is that in order to do something, we all have to do something.
Right.
It's not Brad. It's not Mitch. It's not John. It's other people doing things as well. And credit to Pat and Jason, they've done a great job of starting this fire. We need people to pick up those kind of banners and run with them.
Let's also talk about Matt Bird while we're at it. You mentioned him earlier, but we've for a long time been wanting more content for the website. Just, you know, whatever you want to write about, we've asked. Well, yeah. Matt has stepped up huge. Matt has written, I think, one article a week now for 3 or 4 weeks in a row.
Yep.
And the great thing about this is, and this is what I was talking about a little earlier about, we have to be a little less protective of our brand. For a long time, it was like, well, anything that was on the webpage, Mitch or Brad approved. Or Mitch or Brad actually wrote it. Yeah.
That was more of it than approval.
Today was an example of, you know, I found out from Floodplain Footy that Matt had posted a new article.
but that's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
And I read it, and, you know, I agreed with this one. I didn't agree with a post he made last week, but
I agreed somewhat.
Well, no, I understood where he was coming from, but I was like, ooh, I wouldn't have written that. But at the same time, I was like, okay, let's roll with this. Let's, you know, let's let other people have their say. And I think it's good for the Luligans in general to get some more voices out there, to get some more opinions other than just mine.
Jack Burton did write one too as well.
Yeah, Dave Corbett wrote.
Dave Corbett's written one. There are some that are doing that. And I also want to give Dave a good credit here as well, because he did a really good job on Saturday at the MLS Cup party. He was a guy that was glad handing, and he was doing the John role.
Took on that kind of role, yeah.
Yeah, he was shaking hands and meeting people and talking to them and talking up the brand. And that's something that everybody can do.
Right.
And I feel like we're kind of getting to be a broken record with a lot of this stuff, and that's where I get a lot of frustration from. Everybody can do something.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm not expecting everybody to wrangle Rocco.
Well, I mean, we're not expecting you to step out of your comfort zone even.
No.
I mean, Eric Bonita has become the tailgate guy. He likes doing that.
Yep.
He likes getting there early. He likes setting up. He likes putting the grill out. He likes, so he's...
He likes siphoning money off of it because he's a dirty cop.
He likes bilking the general public out of beers or out of money for beers. But no, that's what he's comfortable doing.
And he does a bang-up job.
Right. So find your spot. Find your whatever you're good at.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We've been saying this for 2 years now.
Right.
And
it's starting to happen.
It finally. I don't like that 2 year return on effort, right. But this is a prime example. You know, we've got these guys that have found ways that they can do stuff.
Right.
And even, you know, even if what you do is just telling Greg not to curse.
If somebody would like that job, please.
Anyone, please.
Yes.
But that's the point. You know, maybe you're the guy. You know,
whatever you do, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to involve money. It doesn't have to involve.
It would be nice if
any
it
particular
money,
talent.
Preferably in my pocket.
There are lots of things we can all do, and maybe you already do them, and we just don't even know about it. So find something to do. Find your role in this group and make it happen.
Again, we're kind of a broken record with this, but
really are.
But, you know, and the thing is, too, is that sometimes it's as simple as bringing a bag of pretzels or right. 6 pounds of pretzels if you went to Sam's like I did.
Right.
That was a wasted money.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, and little things that we can all do are the more people that click like on the articles or retweet the tweets, the more people see
it
them.
It takes 3 seconds to do that.
This is how social media works. I assume people know this, but maybe they don't. You know, I see when I log in as an administrator of the Lulligan page how many people see an article. And just for example, the stupid ancient aliens meme I put up the other day.
I wouldn't say it's stupid. It's
well, no, I
funny.
Mean, yeah, but I mean stupid in that it's not important, but it got like 43 likes or something like that. Well, when that many people like it, everybody who likes it, their friends see it. So like 1,000... some people saw that post.
Well, here, I've got it pulled up here.
Okay.
And this is a good point here. You posted earlier this afternoon or evening, I'll even say, congrats to Alex Morgan about getting married. And I guess the restraining order probably plays into that she's not married one of us.
But right.
181 people have already seen it.
Right.
Now, obviously, you can't keep going to the webpage over and over and over and over and over and over again throughout the day. It's got one like.
Right.
And two and one comment. But 181 people saw it. You know, take those times to like it, to do those little things like that, if you can. If you do actually like it, obviously none of us like it. Alex Morgan's getting married,
right?
But
we're not asking you to artificially inflate. But if you like right. what you see, like it or share it or yes. or whatever.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing too is that share it if you can. Like our teams if you don't like them on Facebook, even right. if you don't give a shit about them,
right?
Like them just because it's the way it is.
Well, in these new articles that Matt's writing, share those articles. I mean, he wrote a good one today.
Did you see what he did with it, too, as well?
Yeah, he got Nick Geber to retweet it,
yeah.
which is awesome.
He sent it to Alexi Lawless. He, yeah. You know, he tweeted all those guys saying, hey, you know, check out what we're doing.
Right.
Again, that's not for everybody. But you know what? If you're on Twitter and you have 4 followers, you should be retweeting stuff that matters.
Right. It helps. It helps generate page views. It helps generate eyes for us, which helps make the Lulligans grow. And
again, we've got 4 teams that we're looking at next year right now. Maybe 5. We don't even know.
Right.
I mean, and that's the thing. A year ago, God damn it, a year ago in December, if somebody would have told us you're going to have 3 huge international friendlies,
right,
and you're going to have a women's team that's going to be the Midwest Division champions, rumors of a USL Pro team,
and a new NPSL
and an
team.
NPSL team. Yeah. If you would have told us that a year ago, how excited would we have been?
Right.
And
the same goes. I'll even say, let's throw out Soccer Made in St. Louis. Let's throw out Floodplain Footy. You know, all these groups that are working for the advancement of St. Louis soccer, like their stuff.
Yes.
Reshare their stuff. Retweet their stuff. I mean, because you know. Steve and I work well together. It helps us all, you
right,
know.
Absolutely.
We repost his stuff. He reposts our stuff, you know.
And the thing is, too, is that, you know, and I'll use Steve as a great example with the Floodplain Footy. He's not making any money off of it. He's not trying to make money through the website.
No.
He's trying to grow the game. And just like we are. You know, it's a scratching of backs. And it's the right. same thing with, I'll use the Fire and Ice. Every time that we mention them in something, they immediately, hey, look what our supporters are doing.
Right.
Hey, you know, these are the kind of things that grow brands. This is that cooperation. Some teams aren't going to get that, and that's yeah. fine.
Well, and Lindsay is always appreciative of when we mention them in an article because she gets the branding process of like,
precisely.
Oh, The Luligans helped me. Now I'm going to help the Luligans. Well, helps us both grow.
And this is soccer 3.0. This is something that we've talked about frequently. This is what you had talked about earlier with the Sounders book. These are things where we're working on our brand. And yes, again, we're protective of our brand. And you should be protective of our brand as well. If you're a Luligan, you should be proud of what we're doing. And you should be wanting to make sure that it's the best that we can be. So maybe that's something, you know, like I said, we've got the New Year's game thing that we're talking about. Keep an eye on that. Maybe you're the guy that stands, you know, maybe you're like Petrillo's injured, so he can't play probably. I think it's all a scam for him to get out of it.
Right.
Because I think he's embarrassed because he knows that we're going to show him up. Because I got to admit, I'm pretty light on my feet.
You're like Fred Flintstone bowling. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, but so he knows he's not going to be able to do that. So maybe he's the collection guy. Maybe he's taking photos.
Well, he's got the built-in skill of photos. Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We've all got something we can do.
Yeah, and it's time for people to do it.
I mean, Feist has promised not to eat anyone.
I guess that's a skill. I guess.
Hey.
It's restraint.
Yeah.
Restraint is a skill.
He's showing some skill. I'm kidding, Feist.
No, you're not.
No, he hasn't eaten anyone since, well.
Well, the incident.
With the incident, right.
But, you know, and so that brings something else. Recently on my Facebook page, I stirred up a little shitstorm because I don't like the "I believe that we will win" chant.
Right.
And the reasons I don't like it is because I don't like the concept of believe in a chant. I want confidence. I want a desire to win that goes past belief. I want knowledge. I want fact.
Right.
And on top of it, I also don't like it because it's somebody else's chant.
That's my problem with it. I mean, it's great that Kansas City does it. It works there in their stadium.
Even though they took it from, I think, Army or something.
Well, yeah, whoever they took it from. But we need more original chants.
We do. We really do.
And we're good at the spontaneous, funny chants.
You've got healthcare.
You've got healthcare. We built Rib City. You know, things like that. We're good with
the instantaneous.
Being clever and quick on our feet.
Yes.
But we do need some regular chants.
We've got to find them. And the thing is, you know, like, for example, I love Run DMC.
Right.
It's Tricky is a great song. It's not going to be a good chant. Too many words, too short.
Right.
Not much of a melody.
So,
you know,
we've had a couple times people try to organize a chant group, a chant page. So maybe you can do that. Maybe you can be the guy that finally gets that off the ground.
And the thing is, maybe you don't have the full blown idea on it. Maybe you just hear a song and say, "Hey, you know what? That sounds like a great idea."
Right.
So do a quick Google search. See if anybody's chanting to that melody.
Right.
Because, you know, that takes 30 seconds on the Google machine. See if anybody's doing it. And then maybe try to come up with just one line or two.
Right.
Because somebody else will help out if you post it.
Right.
Everybody's going to contribute to that kind of thing. A lot of times it's just that initial start, getting it going. We've got to come up with something this year. I think that's our goal for the Luligans this year.
Couple of good solid chants.
And it'd be nice if they're team specific, but if they're Luligan specific as well, or if it's a team thing where we can insert Lions or Fire and Ice or Bordeaux or Piasaw in there. Obviously, the syllables don't match up, but, you know, we can do something with this. We have to do something, because right now, we're not being the best we could be.
Fair, true. I would prefer it to be clever. I would prefer it to be funny.
Yeah, you know, and you were talking earlier about how, you know, the ECS work, key to all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They had 30 guys at one point.
Right.
That's the way we're going to do this. Very similar.
Right.
They came up with their own.
And right now, we're at that level. I mean, we've got 800 fans on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, but we've got 30 to 50 people that show up regularly for events. So we're that small, packed inner circle right now. Let's create the future. Let's create some tradition. Let's get some chants that become, you know, standards for the future.
I mean, when you're old and in a nursing home, if you live that long, and you know, the St. Louis team is on TV or whatever is in the future. I like to think that maybe it's just beamed into our heads.
Or holograms.
Yes, that too. And you hear the fans, the Luligans of the future, chanting a song you helped come up with. That's a pretty fucking cool legacy.
And you can sue them because you wrote that shit. You should be getting paid.
Royalties.
Exactly. Some residual money coming in. Get you a better home.
You need to get me an agent.
Exactly. So, no. So that's just an example of what we're looking for, what we need. As we mentioned, Bird is writing articles, but we're still looking for more people. If you want to write an article, please get a hold of me or Mitch.
Yeah, I think his column is now titled Bird is the Word.
Yeah, bird droppings, bird is the word.
Bird droppings.
Angry birds.
Angry birds is probably appropriate, too. There's so many things you can do with it. It's good.
Yeah, angry words from Bird.
yeah. But, you know, if you've got something to say and it's worth saying, say it.
Yep.
We're only as good as the members.
Right.
And I think people kind of forget that sometimes, that, you know, they think they can just show up and have a good time and move on. And it's not the way shit works.
Nope.
And again, even if it's bringing a bag of pretzels, do something. Just,
I like pretzels.
All right, Forrest.
I like turtles. So anyway, be the best you that you can be.
And do something. Just fucking do something already. You know, it can't be on the same people all the time. And again, you know, wrangling Rocco is not.
And if you mess up, we will tell you. We'll tell you. No, don't fucking do that. I know I said to do something. Now I'm telling you to quit doing something because you're awful.
We have got enough people, enough originals that will pass judgment as easily as they can.
Right.
And you know what?
Right.
It's like a hazing ritual. Until somebody's been judgmental of you,
yes,
you haven't been around long enough.
Yes.
The website, like I said, we've got the articles. I've gotten all the photos that I have up, except for this season. I'm still working on those. If anybody has any of that kind of stuff, again, this is everybody's. It's not just me. It's not just Brad. If you got pictures, send them our way. If you don't know how to send them, if you too many, whatever, talk to us. For the people, by the people.
Exactly.
I did make it up just right now, John.
I have not yet begun to fight.
I am a Berliner. Oh, wait, that's not right. But yeah, I mean, we have to keep doing our things. You know, we're getting recognized. You know, people are seeing who we are. Slowly but surely, our brand is a very important part of that growth of St. Louis soccer. Let's keep it going. I believe we got mentioned recently on another podcast.
I want to give a shout out to On the Fire 97. It's a Chicago Fire podcast. If you are a Fire fan, I know we have a few. Give their podcast a listen. Their Twitter handle is @onthefire97, and you can find their podcast through there. They gave us a little shout out talking about St. Louis soccer and hopefully moving forward to either USL Pro or maybe one day MLS. Just give them a shout out here. And like I said, if you're a Fire fan, listen to their podcast. They have a lot of fun, kind of like a This Is Silly, only Fire-centric. So,
and not as attractive.
I haven't seen pictures, but it would be hard to believe that anybody's more attractive than me and you.
I, of course I agree.
I mean, your wife's in the other room. She can't keep her goddamn eyes off me.
I won't tell you about me and your wife having lunch.
She actually said, speaking of, doing your part, she said that it should be a regular segment, Lunch with Rebecca and Mitch. And you guys could foursquare where you're at, where you're having lunch, and little reviews, and it could be Luligan-endorsed restaurants.
I'm all for that. We'll start with Sushi AI downtown.
So, yeah.
It's all-you-can-eat sushi for $12.99 or $11.99 or $12.99.
I feel compelled also, if you do own a bar or a restaurant, we would love to accept some sponsorship in the form of beers and or food.
Preferably beers. Or beers with food.
That would be awesome, too.
Speaking of which, we still need to make a trip out to Three Kings in the Loop. They were, when we had the first friendly, they were working with us on some stuff, and we'll have to go pay them a visit, and they seem to have a very good beer selection.
I don't know if this applies to a lot of our listeners, but I like beer.
Really?
I
You do?
I do.
Me too.
It's, I, you know.
Oh, God.
I know some.
We just become best friends.
I know some of the fellas in the group like the beer.
This group?
Yeah, some of them do.
Do they like Bud Light?
Well, Greg likes Coors Light, so that's why he's not invited to the three kinks. But no, we like drinking, and again, we're open to sponsorship.
I think it's more bribery at that point in time.
Whatever.
It works.
Exactly. We'll say your name on the podcast.
You are a whore. I'm proud of it.
Or maybe you don't want us to say your name.
That's a brilliant idea.
So...
we're going to start today with ITAP.
Like, I don't know if Night Train's going to give us money to make Rocco quit drinking it, or if he will become the new most interesting man in the world for Night Train.
That could be a great commercial series. Of course, it's basically a bum wine.
Okay, we do have the picture of him holding the cane with drinking the beer and the cigarette hanging out of his mouth at the same time. I think we just start memeing it with... I don't always drink Night Train, but when I do,
Sandman,
I get thrown out of indoor soccer games.
I'm sure he's been thrown out of classier joints. I'm sure he's been thrown out of worse joints.
Rocco's been thrown out of a lot of joints, I think. He's been thrown out of a lot of joints. He hasn't thrown out a lot of joints. And maybe we should end it there.
Wow. I was going to say we're going downhill fast.
Yes.
But it's been a great year.
Yep.
I mean, we have so much to be proud of. Yes. We really do. And I know that sounds kind of like being a parent. And, you know, you can't help it. This is our baby.
Yep.
And everybody's done a good job.
Yep.
Except for Kenny.
I don't even want to talk about Kenny. I don't have the energy or the strength.
There you go.
Kenny drove Rocco.
Kenny found his niche.
That's what he's good at.
You know, he can Rocco wrangle.
He is Rocco's personal chauffeur.
I kind of imagine it like a lion tamer.
Yikes.
At some point in time, you know that lion's going to eat his head.
Well, yeah. Kenny is both Siegfried and Roy to Rocco's what was the tiger's name? Monty or I don't know.
Mongo.
Kenny is Siegfried and Roy to Rocco's albino tiger.
I think I'm just going to start calling Kenny Roy Siegfried.
Yes.
That'll be his new name, Roy Siegfried.
I need you to start wearing a cod piece.
And giant white bedazzled outfits.
Oh, we'll make that happen.
Well, it did come up that we were talking about getting a Ric Flair style robe to wear at events.
Woo!
That's right.
I do think we still need to work on the members-only jackets. just for the original, top 15 Luligans get a members-only jacket.
Oh, that could be like something that you earn. Yes. Like getting patched into a motorcycle club.
Exactly. It's kind of like the Masters green jacket. We'll have a ceremony, and you're presented your green members-only jacket.
It's a great idea.
And tonight, Rocco... for getting thrown out of the Piasaw game, you've earned the green jacket.
Instead of getting knighted with a sword, Rocco hits you with a
the kendo stick. we tie you to a post and he canes your ass.
That would probably end poorly.
This is, again, we're just finding so many ways to make this all happen.
Nothing but money and time.
Look, I got to get to a computer. I got to write all these things down before they fall out of my head. So,
dude, that's why we record them.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah. The little notebooks. Those are always good to carry around just to record.
Shopping list.
Bone molds.
Where's the 40-point shot? In St.
Charles. It's 9:30.
Oh, Rocco had a good saying. Hold on, I gotta find this one. It's on my phone. I made sure I wrote it down so I wouldn't lose it.
Yes.
Because this was a good Rocco saying. And mind you, I'm pretty sure he was glassy-eyed at that point in time.
I've never seen him not.
Yes. You look like Strom Thurmond had sex with a Stromboli. I have no idea what that means.
Actually, I can picture it. It's not pretty. It's not pretty.
And he also said, sometimes when I fart, it gets rid of the itch.
Well, there you go.
The bad thing is I don't remember either of the situations that those came up.
There's no reason either of those two sentences should have been said, but they were.
You must
see,
good time,
Rocco's found his place in the group.
He's got several places.
Cryptic sayings and kendo sticks. Rocco's got it.
See, there's a place for everybody.
Exactly.
Even semi-functional alcoholics. Yeah,
it's a big tent. It's a big fucking tent. And there's room for you.
We've done well.
You can sit by me or you can sit by Rocco.
That's not exactly a good way to bring more people in.
Sit between us. It'd be awful.
Somebody going to get raped.
Well, or pregnant. All right. That's all I've got for tonight. Yeah. What about you?
You know what? We've covered everything we
need to cover. I think we have.
It's been a fun year.
Yes.
Be careful over the holidays. Don't do anything we wouldn't.
Please don't.
And New Year starts up. We've got a lot of things going on.
We're still deep in the silly season. So come out and be silly
it's
with us.
Silly season.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Do you need a pass for silly season?
No, just come on out and have some fun.
That's all it is.
Yep.
Cool. Well,
thanks.
It's been a good time. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.
We were at a party. Here love fell in the game. Someone reached in and grabbed it.